And welcome to another wonderful week of Back to School. And this time we are at Fort Recovery, and we want to thank Kalp Pharmacy, Hall Brothers, K&L Tractor, Reasoner Energy, Cooper Farms, Nature's Green. They get a Fort Recovery Insurance, Mercer County Electric, and Fort Recovery Lumber. As Lee said, Brian Reichert, our guest with Career Explorations and the National Honor Society. And that's how we're going to open up Back to School for this Fort Recovery Week. Brian, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's begin, talking about, your background. Where did you come from originally, and what got you into education?
Yeah, good question. So I'm from St. Henry. I went to St. Henry High School, graduated from there. And then I attended Bowling Green State University, and I got my degree in 7 through 12 English and taught my first 3 years down at Arcanum High School, which was a great, great experience before moving to Fort Recovery and working in the middle school for 5 years and then finally eventually making my way up to the high school.
All right. And let's share, first of all, with course that you teach, obviously Career Explorations. I would also think by the time you get to high school, if the subject is Career Explorations, you've got their complete undivided attention, yeah. Or you should, right?
I would like to think so, yeah.
Yes, that's important stuff, right?
Right. Yeah, so Career Explorations is one of the courses that I teach, and it's a required course here at Fort Recovery High School. And it's primarily taken by juniors. And so basically the way it works is it's a semester course, and it links up with another teacher's semester course. He's actually going to come on next and talk about personal finance and business and such. But and so basically it's a semester to explore all the various career clusters, do a job shadow, complete the Ohio Means Jobs Readiness Seal, learn soft skills and such. And really hopefully by the end of the semester, that junior year, they're on a path forward that they can continue on, whether that be, education after high school or going to the workforce or going to, the armed services or whatever it is. But hopefully there's some form of plan formed.
That's true. And that, I think that's an emphasis you want to bring up, some kind of plan. All those things you mentioned, they're all okay. You can make a nice living and be happy doing any of those, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I just hope that by the end of the course, they have, sort of narrowed down exactly what they want to do. And so hopefully they can choose a career that best fits them.
Is that where the job shadowing comes in? Because sometimes a career sounds wonderful in theory, and then when you see what it actually is, it's not what you thought.
Yes, absolutely. And we highly emphasize, I do require one job shadow per semester, but we here at FRHS encourage as many job shadows as possible. I bring in a lot of people from all sorts of various careers for these things I call lunch and learns for our high school. And every single one recommends go on job shadows, get that experience, see what the actual job looks like. Because that's so vital when you're choosing a job is actually knowing what you're going into.
Do you find, too, that people are happy to, come in from the community, talk to students, or have them at their job? Because I have to admit, when we get a job shadower, it's a lot of fun to bring them in and mm-hmm. tell them what we do and answer their questions,
Yeah. Yeah, both sides of it. I have a lot of people reaching out, wanting to come in and speak to my classes, which is fantastic. But I also have, there's a ton of people who say, yeah, I'm willing to take job shadows or, even when those speakers come in, they say, go to job shadows. And if you don't know where to go, come job shadow me, because I think that's so important.
That's true. And another thing, too, that, like we say, a classroom is useful for a lot of things, but sometimes you just got to get your hands on, right? Like, yeah. Literally, I think it's like a field trip, next level.
Mm-hmm. Well, I often tell students, too, I'm also an English teacher. I teach career exploration, but I don't have a whole lot of career experience other than being a teacher. So I can talk about these various careers, but I don't really know what they're like. Learn from the people who are actually in it.
Yeah, for sure. And for you, how long have you been doing that now with the career exploration?
This is my third year in the high school, third year teaching that course.
And have you found, how have the students done, afterwards when they leave, school, when they're done with your class? Are they generally ready to, they know what they want to pursue?
I think most do. Not every student. We still have seniors who are undecided or unsure what their plan is, but I think that's probably pretty natural. But I think for the most part, when students enter the course, they have less of an idea than when they leave the course, which is sort of the goal, is that by the end of the course, they have a better path forward.
And do you also sometimes, talk to them about realistically, this is what you have to do if this is the the job you want someday, maybe gently remind them that, you're going to have to get better in some of these subjects.
Well, yeah. So, and actually that's one of the job shadow questions, is when they go out on a job shadow, they have to fill out this questionnaire with wherever they go. And one of the questions is, what is a subject you wish you would have worked harder at in high school? And I think that that's an important question, because I think so often students think, well, after high school, I'm never going to use any of this stuff anyway. But all of those job shadows say, you know, I wish I would have taken math more seriously. I wish I would have taken writing more seriously. And so hopefully students can see that connection between what they do in school and what they'll need to do with their careers.
Sure. And I'm positive you will agree, Brian, English pretty important.
I think so.
Very much so. It's the building blocks of all your communication.
Well, and I tell students all the time, you're never going to not be reading something. You're never going to not be writing something. Even if it's just an email, you're going to be writing. And then, like you said, communication, being able to speak and write coherently in a way that you can get your ideas across, that's so vitally important.
That's true. And the thing is, not to be a grammar snob, so to speak. I mean, we all make mistakes, but sometimes also when you run into somebody that really does not have it going on with the grammar, they can be really smart, they can be really nice, they can be hard workers, but unfortunately, people do judge you by the word you use,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. I often tell students that the way that they communicate can set them ahead of others, because if you sound smarter, then there's a good chance you look that way.
That's a good point. So yeah, you teach them some of those grammar rules. And of
Absolutely.
Course, these days, I'm sure you also talk to them about maybe the difference in, when you respond to a friend versus a coworker or a boss. You know, internet shorthand is okay when you're talking to your buddy, right? Mm-hmm. But when you go out into the professional world, you got to cut that down.
Yeah, you got to understand your audience. You got to know, how do you communicate to your friends? How is that different than your boss? How is that different than a potential someone buying from you? You know, a potential client, like, all those things require different forms of communication. Knowing and understanding that is really important.
That's for sure. And another thing too that, and obviously with you, they are still very much growing up. That's another thing that, you're kind of guiding them through that and talking about what's next, because, like, I can remember it myself when you suddenly realize, oh yeah, there is no 13th grade. I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I often think students have kind of an idealized version of what life might look like after high school. And sometimes we need to talk about what the realistic life is like, too.
Yeah, but where we talk about things like back pain, car repairs, bills in the mail.
Taxes.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. The
various
fun stuff.
Various things like that. That's the reality of that adult life. Don't be in such a hurry to grow up.
Right.
It'll all come to you in time, right?
For sure. Yep.
So, for you also, when we hear about all the career explorations, but also National Honor Society, when you're perhaps applying for a job or trying to get into a school, that's looking pretty good on your resume, isn't it?
Yeah. I often tell students who, if they have the academics, they can fill out a candidate form. They can pursue wanting to get inducted into NHS. And I say, if you're planning on going to college or you're filling out scholarship applications, this is something, again, that can set you ahead of some of the others who don't have that on their resume.
Do you talk to them also about, like, the responsible use of AI? That, we know it's there. We all use it, but you got to use it the right way.
Yeah. So, and actually, this kind of goes back to being an English teacher. So me and the two other high school English teachers met over the summer to come up with, like, a whole list of, this is acceptable AI use, this is unacceptable AI use, here is our policy for what will happen if we think it's unacceptable. It's a tool that is so readily available now and so tempting because it does so much, that teaching students when they can and can't use it, or when they should and shouldn't use it, I think is an important role of educators right now.
I know, I'll be nice and not name the lawyer's name, but there was just a newspaper article of somebody that used AI to file a brief.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it.
I saw that,
goodness. Well, first of all, it cited cases that never happened.
Absolutely.
And in one case, they actually left the prompt, when they printed it out. And you just looked at that and you went, okay, I'm not going to make fun of the guy, but we will use this as an example for young people. Like, don't do this.
Right. Well, and like I said, it's tempting. All those things require a lot of work. I'm sure being a lawyer is a ton of work, but AI seems to make it a lot easier if it's doing what it actually is supposed to do, but
that's
it doesn't
right.
always do that.
And that's something, it's a tool.
It's a tool.
And I think it can even do things like check my grammar, check my spelling. I mean, you've already written it a sentence and you might say, can you make this sound a little better or a little more empathy or something like tweak.
Oh, yeah. I've had to do that before, for sure.
Yeah. And so I think when used in that way, it's it's a lot of fun. I don't think it'll ruin things any more than the advent of the calculator ruined math, no, right?
It's just, it's another thing that we have to learn to adapt in and figure out how to use correctly. Which that does actually go back to National Honor Society to an extent, because one of the four pillars of NHS is character. And so we talk about, you know, what is ethical and what's not ethical. And if you're using AI to write your essay, for instance, that's unethical. That's bad character. That's not one of the four pillars of NHS.
There you go. Very good to put it that way. And I also think today's kids are a lot smarter than people give them credit for. And I think they're gonna be all right. They're going to figure that
fine.
Out.
Yeah, they'll be know? Just fine. Well, it's kind of funny, too. I taught in my careers class, there's the seal. It's called the Ohio Means Jobs Writing Seal. The state made it, whatever. It's a bunch of soft skills. So one of the soft skills is oral and written communication. And I talk to students how, you know, have any of you ever heard from an old person, you know, kids these days, they just don't know how to talk to each other. I think they talk to each other just fine. It's just a little different than how we grew up. They need to learn to adapt. They need to learn how to communicate and when to communicate via whatever mode they use. But they'll be just fine.
I think so, too. And, you know, gosh, when we were growing up, if we had chat groups and other things like mm-hmm. that, where we all talked to our friends together and things like that, we would have used it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, we used what was there. We just, we thought cable TV was cool when we were growing up, right?
Yeah, right.
Same thing with our Trapper Keeper, which I understand are coming back.
Some of them have them, yeah.
Yeah, about that.
I'm always surprised.
Listen, as long as the knit ties don't come back, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
I never was a fan of those, you know. And, you know, and for you, Brian, what's also neat is, you know, as you said, you spent those years in Arcanum. What drew you, you know, to come here? Obviously, you know, Fort Recovery, a great reputation, right, for
Absolutely.
Schools, right?
Yeah, so when I was going through college, I worked at Fort Recovery Industries all through the summers of high school or through college. And I always said Fort Recovery was a town I would love to teach in. It's close to St. Henry. It's got close proximity, but also it has great kids. It has great community members. And it was definitely, top of my list for schools that I wanted to teach at eventually. So I taught at Arcanum for 3 years. It was great experience. I had great students, great coworkers, everything too. But getting closer to home, but also being, you know, in a MAC school again, going back to just a similar character, similar values to what I grew up with, that was tempting. That was what I wanted to get back to.
So it wasn't that hard to switch to purple, right?
Well, purple's kind of a difficult color, but that's besides the point.
I understand.
No, don't worry. When I was at Arcanum, I had to wear orange, which I grew up in St. Henry hating orange, you know?
Oh, I can imagine so. Yeah. Some of your friends probably had a lot of fun at your expense.
Yeah, I've had to force myself to like some colors that I didn't originally like, but you get there.
I understand that totally. Because at the end of the day, it's all about the kids.
It is all about the kids. Yeah.
It
absolutely.
Is. Oh, Brian, I want to thank you for coming, and I especially want to thank Fort Recovery Lumber, Mercer County Electric, Fort Recovery Insurance, Nature's Green, and Cooper Farms, among those who are our sponsors. So we're going to take a break. We will return. We're going to meet Matt Kearns, who's a business teacher, FBLA, which I would imagine stands for Future Business Leaders of America. Yeah. And he's also a career intern advisor, and so that's what we're going to do next. Back to school on 96.7 The Wave. It's back to school at Fort Recovery. Kevin Sandler with you. Thank you to Cup Pharmacy, Hall Brothers, K&L Tractor, Reisner Energy, and many more. Matt Kearns, our guest now, a business teacher, also works with Future Business Leaders of America, and he is a career intern advisor. Matt, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Yep, no problem.
Let's talk with you about your own background. Share with us where you came from originally and what got you into education.
Okay. Originally grew up in Northeast Ohio. Actually met my wife in college. I went to school, double majored in business management and marketing. Did accounting for a couple years out of college, and then went back and got my teaching certificate, and kind of the rest has been history.
And what made you decide, you know, to go ahead and be a teacher then?
I liked what I was doing. I just didn't really like where I was doing it, I guess. And I think just being around, having different kids all day really was kind of enticing, you know, 42 minutes here or there. And I like the topics we go over. It was just not the job I enjoyed.
So let's talk about, you know, teaching business. And mm-hmm. when we talk about a business teacher, that's a rather broad term. Mm-hmm. There's a lot you can go over. So and when you teach business, what are some of the areas you're working on there?
So I have four classes this year. I have a computer apps class. It's like Microsoft, and then I have a principles of business class. We cover everything from entrepreneurship to marketing, a little bit of advertising, and then we have a web design class. where we do some basic design, a little bit of coding, things like that. And then I have personal finance, which is just kind of basic money management for when the kids get out of high school.
All right. Let's talk about, you know, that too, like money management, mm-hmm. Something that I think a lot of people wish that they had, you know, growing up. The idea that, you know, that you do have to budget down, you have bills, you know, that some of the fun of being an adult, you know, that so much of your paycheck is spoken for. And, mm-hmm. you know, you talk about saving, bills, mm-hmm. luxury purchases, mm-hmm. things like that. And
I think that would probably be one of the more important classes that I teach, just because I think it's applicable to every kid. It doesn't matter what they choose to do after high school, whether they go to college route, you know, military, workforce, they got to learn how to manage their money a little bit. So we cover everything from budgeting, saving and investing, a little bit of insurance. We talk about the house buying process, vehicles, renting an apartment or a house, all those kind of things.
Excellent. And also, you know, when you talk about like the future business leaders of America, mm-hmm. a great group, tell us more about it.
A lot of what we do, we try to stay pretty local. One of our biggest things we do is Adopt a Family Project. That's a pretty big project over the fall. It involves a fundraiser with our pie sale. And then between us and Student Council, we adopt some families over the holidays. And that's where all the money we make off our pie sale goes, gifts and things like that. And then even throughout the year, we have that resource available to us. We have some money in that fund. So if we have kids that have needs either at this building or at the other building, you know, people can contact us. It's just nice resource to have.
Outstanding. And then also as a career, you know, intern advisor, mm-hmm. let's talk about how that works.
So that's relatively new, at least to me this year. We have a few students that they're just trying to get some work experience, which I think is crucial. And I don't know, you know, if when I was in high school, it wasn't as big of an option or I just didn't take advantage of it. But even, you know, just them getting out in the workplace, even if it ends up being something that they find out they don't want to do, you know, that's still beneficial. But it just gives them now this opportunity. They have some things they have to do each quarter still for us, just to show that it's kind of worthwhile. But just them getting out in the workforce, doing the regular schedule, you know, being consistent, and we have to get some feedback from their boss and those kind of things to, you know, make sure they're doing the things on their end, you know, that you have to do when you're actually out in the real world.
Let's also talk about what are some of the, you know, the jobs that they're able to get. People might be surprised.
Well, right? There's a little bit of everything. I mean, it's kind of on what the kid wants to do in their job. Right now we have the three of the girls work at a daycare. So they do some after school care and even some before school care, things like that. But it's really open to anything, kind of whatever the kid wants to do, as long as they can make it work in their schedule and they can find an employer that's willing, which around here we have tons of them that, you know, hey, if we can get a kid in and kind of figure out what they like to do, you know, before they graduate, they're definitely open to that.
Yeah, we certainly hear a lot of stories of, you know, a student is ready to graduate and the employer's just waiting, you mm-hmm. know, like mm-hmm. how many days until you graduate? Because we've got something
mm-hmm.
for you.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of it, I think, is getting them in the door before they graduate, you know, in that they know, okay, I can, you know, finish high school. I have this job. I like it. I like the place. I like the people. I like what I do in the job. And then they're able, you know, to kind of fit into that role without, you know, kind of starting from scratch right away when they graduate.
And also you talk about, like I said, intern advisor, that sometimes there are certain positions that may not be paid, but on the other hand, it could also be that they're doing a little bit of work, but for the most part, they get to kind of be there and observe and
yeah,
learn.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, you know, job shadowing is huge, and that's big in our careers classes. And just being able to do that and find, even if they go on a job shadow and it's something they figure out, hey, I do not want to do this when I'm older, that's still beneficial, you know, and we have a lot of kids that take advantage of that through their different classes, you know, and it's something that we kind of push just because it's so beneficial to hopefully save them some time in the future.
Yeah, in some cases, you might ask somebody, what do you want to do? And they give you an answer and you said, well, what made you pick that? Well, that's what mom and dad want me to do, or yeah. That's what mom thinks mm-hmm. I'll be good at. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that might be true, but also it may not be what they really want either.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I mean, I was kind of a prime example of that when I graduated high school, wasn't real sure what I wanted to do. So I'm like, okay, I'll go to college, I'll study business, you know, and it's ended up working out. But, you know, I had those few years in school where I was doing the class thing, but I didn't have the job experience. And I think if I would have taken more advantage of that, I would have realized, okay, I need to go a little you know, different direction with what I'm going
to
do.
True. It's always nice to know exactly what path you want to take and have that path be forward and clear. But, you know, for a lot of people, it just doesn't work that way, does it?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And it's, you know, we're very fortunate, again, in this area. Our parents push their kids to do work-related things. And, you know, they have that opportunity in school just to have, you know, career classes where they can kind of study some more things with those and figure out different things. You know, not just looking at, okay, how much money am I going to make? You know, I tell the kids, you're going to want to know that. I don't care how old you are. That's the first thing you want to know. But there's a lot more to that job and the day in, the day out than just that paycheck.
Yeah. Not to mention, don't be taken in by perhaps a higher rate, because that might leave out the fact that, well, we don't offer insurance, or if they do, it's
pricey. Got to get the full picture.
Get the full, you know, picture.
Yep.
And how many hours you're going to work, you know, what kind of toll will the job take on you? Is this mentally what you want to do? Suddenly that high wage may not be so great.
Yeah,
you might
absolutely
really pay for it.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. And that's how, like, when I did accounting for 2 years, I enjoyed the work, but I was pretty much by myself and it's, you know, sitting in an office, and I enjoy interacting with people way too much for something like that. And that's, again, one of those things I probably would have figured out if we would have had the job shadowing, you know, experiences.
And you know, for other people, it may be the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to work with people. I'll put me in an office somewhere.
Absolutely.
Well, you can accommodate that too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's just why, if they can go through and try some of these different things and figure out what they're good at, what they enjoy, and figure out how to mesh those two things, it works out well for them in the future.
And not only that, but also we do hear that the average person today, they are, as I understand it, expected to change careers, right? Whatever you're into right after high school is probably not going to hold up in a decade. It's expected you're going to switch.
Yep, especially when they're young, you know, in those first few years, even into their mid to late 20s, it's very common for them to switch jobs. You know, and a lot of them, that's the time to do it. If they're not established, not sure where they want to live, maybe they don't have a family yet, those are definitely the times to, you know, give those things a shot.
Yeah, that is for sure. So, you know, for you, Matt, I'm sure you, as you're working with students, you've seen where somebody decided they were going to do something different than what they thought they were going to do when you first got to know them, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We see it all the time. You know, and a lot of times kids will come into class and they'll say, oh, I want to do this. But then they don't know kind of all the ins and outs about that. And then once they kind of do some research or maybe do that job shadow, they realize it's not exactly, you know, what they thought it was going to be.
True. And probably the opposite works, where there's a job that they wouldn't think they would like. Mm-hmm. And then they realize, no, wait, this is actually pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Myself, I'm a prime example of that. I thought, oh, I'm going to do something in the business world. And it just wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And just the interaction, you know, on a daily basis with students and trying to give them some things that they can use outside of the class was never something I saw myself doing until probably my mid-20s. So.
We can also talk about the gifts that people have. Some people are very gifted with their hands. Mm-hmm. They can fix things. Others, changing a light bulb is about the limit of what we can do.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
We, you know, you respect that. But some people, I mean, they love to tinker and fix things.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Mechanics,
and that's, yeah, there's a lot of things that people can do different-wise. You know, my father-in-law is a retired diesel mechanic. He'll take anything apart and put it back together. You know, I dig into something, I put it back together, and I got 5 parts left over. So, you know, you got to know your limitations.
That you do. And not only that, some kids, I mean, they're really into computers. And by that, I mean, they're the ones that if you get an error message, they'll help you out on that.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I have plenty of kids that, you know, they'll try to fix something, you know, because they realize, like, a lot of times, you know, and I fall into the older generation sometimes where you're almost scared to mess it up worse. And the kids now, they're like, oh, no, you know, we'll figure it out. And they'll put in the work. And even if they do the research, maybe they don't know what to do, you know, to fix it right away. They are so good at finding information these days on, you know, whether, you know, they have their phones and those kind of things. They just have it at their fingertips all the time.
That's true. Or they might ask their Echo Dot for advice. They might go to the chat and say, this is my problem. What's recommended procedure with this model? I mean, just unbelievable stuff.
Absolutely. Man. Absolutely. Their ability to use technology and to use it in an advantageous way, I think this generation, it's a huge benefit for them.
That it is. So, Matt, again, I want to thank you for coming. It sounds like, you know, it's kind of hard to believe we're in November already.
I know.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
A school year goes by so fast.
It does.
We're almost to December.
Yeah. You know, we're looking at December, and I just realized Thanksgiving, about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do they kind of make a thing of Thanksgiving at Ford Recovery as far as seeing decorations, things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, especially around Christmas, we'll do some decorating. It just kind of depends, you know, year to year what we see. We'll do some door competitions, some class, kind of some friendly competitions and stuff like that here in the next month and a half.
All right. Great time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. Then,
ironically, when the holidays are over and it's January, you really feel it, right? You got about 4 months left or less, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You can have those blues after the break. But, yeah, it's a great situation here.
That it is. Matt, thanks for dropping by. Good to see you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Back to school here in Fort Recovery, and I'm Kevin Sandler. And again, Back to School, our series that we do about monthly, and we take it on the road. We've been to quite a few area schools, and this week it's all about Fort Recovery. That's why we're here. And I've got a couple of students. Isaac Reisner is a junior. Georgia Wedding is a senior, and they're here on behalf of the high school principal committee. So thanks for stopping by. Good to see you.
Yep, no problem.
So, Georgia, share with us, if you would, please, what the high school, you know, principal committee is and what is it all about?
Okay, so basically our principal asks a girl and a guy from each grade, people he thinks are good leaders and who would, like, I don't know, just make your grade look good. And we meet, like, every once or twice a month. It just depends. And he asks, like, questions, like, how we can get more students engaged, how we can get more people in clubs to go to the games, like just, I don't know, thoughts and ideas about stuff.
Kind of a way to, that he can get an idea of some changes and things that could be made, but from the student's point of view, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it, it's better that way because, you know, you've got the teachers, the principal, but you're the ones actually coming here. Right,
yeah.
You're the ones that actually, you know, kind of make the grade. So, what are some of the suggestions and things you've been able to share with him?
We put in this like incentive plan for getting kids to sign up for more clubs. So, like, if people are in 5 clubs or more, last year we went to the movies, and if you're in like 3, we got like an ice cream bar. Like, just putting incentives in place so we can get more club involvement. We did some like spirit buses. We tried to get that so we could get more people to go to games because I think we kind of struggle with getting some of our students to show up and support some of our games. So,
yeah, I bet especially maybe some of the road games,
mm-hmm.
right?
Away games,
yeah,
especially.
Away games. And also, have they responded to these ideas?
Yeah, I think some of them have gone over pretty well. Some of the further ones, people don't want to, you know, ride a bus. It's a long ride or whatever, but.
You also talked about like the number of clubs, like 5 clubs, for example. How many are you in?
I think I have like maybe 6.
My goodness. Wow. Which off the top of your head, what are they?
Principal's committee, student council, FBLA, student officer.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, a few math science club, but.
It sounds like every one of those would be fun and serve a different purpose for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. With this being your last year in school, have you thought about the future? Like, what are your plans someday?
I think I'm going to go into civil engineering.
Okay. Have you got a school picked out yet?
Not quite yet.
Are you looking at a few?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Still trying to get admissions back and stuff.
Yeah, kind of take it from there. Are you hoping to go kind of far away, or do you want to stay relatively close for college?
Definitely in Ohio, but I think I'm going to move away.
Okay. College, yeah. Not a bad idea. It's good to get out, right?
Yeah.
Good to get out. All right, good for you. So let's meet with, Isaac is our junior, and so good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. Thanks for having me on.
All right, what got you into the principal committee? Was it suggested you do it, or did you volunteer for it?
No, it was suggested to me. So I was in art class my sophomore year, and there had been a different boy from my grade in the principal's committee my freshman year, and he didn't want to do it again. So my art teacher asked me if I'd be interested in doing the principal's committee, and so I was like, sure, why not? So then last year was my first year, and then this has been my second year.
All right. So what are some of the things you've identified and shared with the principal?
Some of the things that I have contributed with is last year, the band went to state, and people had been curious to hear the band show, and so I suggested that they could have a pep assembly or something like that, where the band could go out onto the football field at the end of a day of school and give their show, and then the whole student body could go out and watch that. And so then that got, you know, all scheduled, and that was pretty cool.
I bet it was, and also something that perhaps nobody else but students would have thought of, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. And the thing is, we still have quite a bit to go in this school year. Will there be any more things coming that you want people to know about?
Yeah, there will be some, I'm sure, fun changes that we've got planned this year. And we haven't done too much yet with this current school year because it's only November. But one of the things that we have done so far is we did a caramel apple bar for October. And so our principal must have seen it on the internet somewhere, and we kind of helped him plan the caramel apple bar for the students. And so that was kind of a fun way to get people, you know, eating together, and just like a fun way to treat the students.
That does sound like a lot of fun and positive. Right. Also, right? Getting people to communicate, make friends, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. For you, I know you've got another year to go after this. Have you thought about what your career is going to be someday?
Yeah, I would like to go into some sort of design or something where I can really be creative and think in that way, you know, where I can think outside of the box and make things, because I'm pretty artistic and I like to, you know, have that creative leadership type of role. So some sort of graphic design or web design or something like that in college.
Yeah, I was going to say that field is, it's almost limitless on what you could possibly do, right?
Right. And that's kind of what I like about it, you know, is there's not necessarily a certain path that you have to take, or, you know, like you can kind of do what you want and take the creative steps that you want, and then it can also be a career path. So
yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Have you thought about where you might go to school?
Not necessarily yet, because I would like to run track in college somewhere. So if I can get a scholarship to go anywhere, that would be nice. And my sister runs track up at Hillsdale, so it would be kind of cool to go there and run track with her, but haven't really done too much specifics into what college. No,
you got time yet.
Yeah. So
when you're not at school and not doing, like, you know, your art, I mean, what are some of the hobbies you have? What are some things that keep you busy?
I've been playing guitar for 8 years, so that's something that I really enjoy doing. And yeah, I like to do art at home. I like listening to music, watching movies, and then playing board games. I love playing board games, just spending time with my family. So.
All right. Now, when it comes to playing the guitar, what are some of the artists that really kind of influence you, that you try to copy?
Yeah, there's definitely been some artists that have influenced me. My guitar teacher, he was an older guy, so a lot of those older styles of music have inspired me. So I would say, like, musicians such as Billy Joel or CCR and that type of stuff. And then with some more modern musicians that have inspired me would be Noah Kahan, and just that style of, like, folk and a little bit of rock maybe. So
excellent. Yeah, those are some good artists you name off there. So, and for you, Georgia, what about you? Like, when you're not at school, what are some of the things we might find you doing?
I've been on our golf team for the last 4 years, so I really just enjoy, like, going out to the course on a good Sunday afternoon. I do it a lot with my family and even my friends. A lot of my friends joined the golf team together our freshman year, so that's really fun.
What got you into golf? Was it just kind of a family thing?
A family thing, and I didn't want to play volleyball anymore, but I still wanted to play a sport, and I thought it'd be a fun, like, relaxing sport.
Do you find it's relaxing as long as you don't get too
frustrated? Yeah, it definitely depends on the day, for sure, but I really enjoy it no matter what.
Do you have any pro golfers that are favorites of yours?
I mean, Tiger Woods, obviously.
Yes.
He's just a good one, but yeah.
That's pretty neat. You know, it's also interesting, too, is that, you know, that you can golf almost any time if you, like, spend time with the simulator and some other things, right? You can always practice your strokes, et cetera.
Yeah, it can always be done. It's a good year-round sport.
That's true. Or if you're willing to travel, right?
Yeah.
You can really play the golf. So pretty neat. Now for you, I mean, overall, especially, it's hard to believe, right? But May will be here before we know it and you'll graduate. I mean, overall, you know, how would you rate your experience at Fort Recovery Schools?
I really liked it. I think they did a good job at preparing me for the future, giving me a good option and course load and, like, coursework that I could take. Right now, I'm only here 5 periods a day, so it allows me to go home, get a lot of stuff done. I do a lot of, like, CCP, like, online through Wright State. So I've gotten a lot of, like, college hours. I've almost got, like, a full year knocked off my degree already. And it gives me time to work, too, to make money for college.
I think it's a great idea because if you're at that level and you can do that work, right, mm-hmm. age is just a number. Why not, right?
Yeah,
it's a great
idea. I started my sophomore year.
Yeah, there you have it. So, yeah, and that's really neat. Certainly shows a lot of initiative, for sure. So looks like our next guest, Mr. Ryan Steinbrenner, has arrived, your high school principal. We'll have to stop talking about him now because he's actually here. Yeah. But I want to wish Isaac and George a lot of luck in the future. I think they're going to go on and do great things. That is absolutely for sure. So thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. Also want to take a moment once again and thank sponsors including Kalp Pharmacy, Hall Brothers, K&L Tractor, and Reisner Energy. It's back to school live in Fort Recovery. Kevin Sandler here. Thank you to Fort Recovery Lumber, Mercer County Electric, Fort Recovery Insurance, Nature's Green, and Cooper Farms. We're now with the high school principal, Mr. Ryan Steinbrenner, known very well for certainly his work here at the school, but also, the win at the Wabash that he's done. And so there's a little bit of everything around here, right, Ryan?
I guess that's one way to put it, Kevin. I'm a busy guy.
Nothing wrong with that. Keeps you out of trouble.
That's right.
The thing. Share with us, if you would, though, a bit about your background, where you came from originally, and what led to you being the high school principal here.
Well, I've lived in Fort Recovery my entire life. 04 graduate from Fort Recovery High School. Went on to college at Wright State University. Lived at home most of the time, going to Lake Campus and commuting to Dayton. Grew up with my dad being a DJ in the area, wedding DJ. So I, DJed local weddings 30 plus a year for many years. And so that's why I didn't really ever live the college life or move away to college. I was working and living with mom and dad. Got my first teaching job at Jay County and taught there for 11 years after I graduated college. And then 6 years ago, the middle school principal job opened here and I was lucky enough to be hired into that. And 3 years ago, I moved up to the high school.
And for you, when you came back here, were some of your former teachers still on staff?
Yeah, some of them still are on staff.
So that's really cool.
That was cool. In middle school, I had 2 former teachers on staff when I started there, and I have quite a few of my former teachers on staff here at the high school yet.
Yeah, they must be proud.
Well, I remind them all the time how old they are. So,
well, that's true. Here's a little hint, Randy. They don't need you to do that. No. We know. They're little reminders every day.
That's right.
For you, also, talk about being the high school principal. It just sounds like it would be a fun job. Busy, but it sounds like it's fun. You're working with them as they're getting ready to go out into the world.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Being able to be part of these students' lives and the decisions they're making for what hopefully is the rest of their lives and to help guide them down those paths is certainly the most enjoyable part of this job. I miss the classroom teaching because of the daily interactions I get to have with students, and I don't get that quite as much, but to be able to sit down and have conversations with students about, hey, what are you thinking about doing after high school? How can we help with that? How can we help guide you? Certainly the most rewarding part of this job.
Also, when we talk about those high school years, we think of the seniors that are getting ready to graduate, but also the other end of that, the freshmen, realizing, okay, this is high school. Oh, right now, maybe I'm a little lost, right? And you got to work with them too.
Yeah, absolutely. Funny enough, I'm headed into the freshman classes tomorrow to talk about work ethic and what that needs to look like to be not just successful at high school, but successful in life. And we want to make sure that they portray that and understand that. And we want to teach them those skills. It is a skill. Work ethic and organization is a skill that you have to develop. And so, yes, we want them to learn the history and the math and the reading and everything else, but we really want them to learn those soft skills, those things that will allow them to be successful no matter what they choose to do.
One of my favorite life hacks to share with people, certainly told even my own kids this, that it may be, wherever you work, you may not be the best or even the fastest, but if you're always on time and you always try as hard as you can, that is so underrated. I mean, that might get you a promotion over somebody that might know a little bit more, but they're not on time like you are. They don't do the extra things like you do.
I would agree. I go back to what my parents taught me as a child, and it was self-motivation and organization. Same thing. You may not always be the strongest or the fastest or the smartest at whatever you're doing, but if you're self-motivated and you want to do your best and you can be organized, you can be successful.
That is for sure. Nothing like a good work ethic.
Right? Absolutely.
And the pride that goes with that, too. I mean, you know, you feel good when you've accomplished something and you knew you worked hard for it.
Absolutely. Kind of goes to the work I do with the Win on the Wabash and the Fort Recovery Athletic Boosters and in the church and anything. It's the community service aspect of it, that fulfillment you can get by helping those around you. And so that's another thing that we want to instill in these students also, is a good work ethic, but also a good aptitude to give back to the community around you.
True. And sometimes, you know, we can remind all of us, you know, we owe it to them, right? I mean, especially as you grew up, you know, things were done for you. People, you know, did things in the community that you benefited from. Now it's your turn.
Yeah, we keep track of community service hours here. We promote community service hours. We want the students to understand that they are able to be successful here in school for a whole lot of variety of different reasons, but the people that are giving their time through coaching or through teaching or through financial support, those people are doing it out of the graciousness of their hearts to help you. And so to be able to then go on and give back in some way is just as important.
Also, you know, you certainly work with teachers, right, and others. And I'm sure you get some that they're just starting, whereas with others, you know, it maybe get emotional at times as you realize this is their last first day of school, that they're going to retire, so on and so forth, right? And
instructional leadership is such an important part of this job. And I think it's one of the aspects of it I may have underestimated going into administration. You think you're going into administration and you're still going to work with students on a daily, and you get the good and the bad with that. You get the discipline with the, you know, the good times. Instructional leadership is so important for those young teachers. We have Nicole Finnick, first-year teacher this year, 22 years old, just out of college, and her first job. And we have the 33-year seasoned veterans here as well. But being able to share strategies, share tips, encourage them and push them to continue to grow, whether they're 1 year in or 33 years in, is certainly a very rewarding and important part of the job as well.
And let's tip our hat to her. 22 years old and you're already got a teaching job. That's very impressive.
Very. She came in against a few other candidates when we interviewed this summer, and we hired her, right? You know, 22 years old, first-year teacher, fresh out of college. She was up against some tough competition, but she really wowed us, and she has shown so far that we were definitely correct in our choice.
And I'm sure also that's a challenging part of your job too, Ryan, in the sense that when somebody retires or a position opens up, you want to get it right. You know, you want to get somebody that's going to be success and stay and help out the students, right?
There's so many things to look at that for that reason. We want to have that sustained success. You don't – or someone that is willing and wants to be here at Fort Recovery, because – I'm hoping that I never have to hire that ELA position again now that Nicole's hired. I hope that I never have to hire that position again in my tenure here. And that's for each of them. We want to find someone that's good in the aspect of they can teach the material well, but also good in that they can build strong relationships with students and that they want to see the success of Fort Recovery.
But it's also fun for you when a teacher does have their first day, right? That they're probably excited to do it, maybe a little nervous too, maybe a lot nervous. I don't know, but you're there for them, right?
Absolutely. Again, I'll go back to Nicole, and I can remember the summer day her coming in and giving her keys and walking into her classroom the first day, and that first sense of, wow, this is really cool. I got my own classroom. To about 24 hours later of this overwhelmingness of, oh no, I got my own classroom, like this True. Blank slate, and what am I going to do with this? And she spent hours upon hours in the summer coming in and getting that room prepared and getting her lesson plans ready and asking questions. And again, it's a fun part of my job is being able to guide them through that process.
You also talked about, you know, part of your job that isn't fun, the discipline that happens sometimes. But I'm going to make a wild guess here that oftentimes when you bring them in for discipline, it's like, all right, they already know what they did, right? They understand that their actions brought them into your office. So it's not like you're this mean guy that's singling them out. There's a reason they're there. And I'm sure you can work with that constructively as best you can, right?
Absolutely. E plus R equals O, I think, forms all of our conversations with students in some aspect, especially when it comes to the discipline side. You had an event happen to you that was out of your control. Your reaction to that event caused this outcome that we're having a conversation. So how can we change that reaction? How can we change your response to that event that is occurring so that you make a better choice next time?
True. And that's something that, as you said, it's you don't always plan for these things to happen. And whatever discipline you have to dole out, I mean, if you're not addressing what happened in the first place, you don't want them back, right? That's the main thing, right?
That's the goal. We want it to be a learning opportunity for the students. Now, we're also blessed that living in Fort Recovery, we have great students, we have great parents, we got great support systems at home, just like in all of the communities around here. And so discipline is a very, very minimal part of my job, which I appreciate.
That is excellent. Yeah, that's probably no fun on either side, right? I'm mm-hmm. sure nobody enjoys having to do
that. Neither me nor the student or the parents want to be part of that.
Also, for you, though, as you said, you do get to know some of the students. I'm sure you get out into the hall, try to meet some of them. You ever have lunch with students randomly?
Well, we eat lunch, quite a few of us, down in the lunchroom every day. So I like to walk around when I'm down there and talk with the students, hear what's going on in their lives. Actually, my favorite part of the day is the first 15 minutes after the morning bell rings between 8 and 8:15. I stand down in the commons with my coffee and I greet every student that comes in the door. And I enjoy those conversations with the kids, stopping and talking to a few of them about what they did over the weekend or a sporting event they were in or the Scholastic Bowl tournament they're in tonight or whatever it is. So that's a great start to the day.
I was going to say, I'm sure with some of these kids, the added interesting part there is you probably know, in some cases, their parents, so on and so forth.
Yeah, right? I graduated with quite yes. a their parents are right around my age. I'm to that age now. So, yeah, I know the families. I know the parents of a majority of these students. So it's nice to know what's going on in their lives and be able to have conversations about that with them.
I tell you what, when you talk about being at that age, it will happen when perhaps, those students start to send their kids to school. That's the passage of time is fascinating.
I understand that. Absolutely.
And also, for you, when we think about like this time of year, we're right up against the holidays, hard to believe. So what kind of changes for that? I mean, I'm sure you guys have things planned, for Thanksgiving, Christmas, et cetera here.
A lot going on any time of the year here. I mean, between dress-up weeks and kids having fun or different activities going on, I feel like the fall season just flew by. And now that sports are done with the football team being knocked out of the playoffs last week, we're just transitioning right into the winter sports. And so every week, this week we got an appreciation for 50 years of girls basketball at Fort Recovery High School happening Friday night at the basketball game. And we got a student appreciation night the next week. And so it's nonstop. I feel like there's always fun things for the students to look towards. This Thursday morning, we're bringing in McDonald's breakfast for every student in high school.
Yeah.
So, there's always different things going on, fun ways to get the students engaged, and they certainly appreciate
that. I bet McDonald's appreciates it, too. That's some good business right there.
I guess so, yeah. That was a good order last week when I called them and said I needed 200 Egg McMuffin sandwiches.
Hey, there you go. Hey, that's easy money. Just lay them out and cook them up. So.
That's right.
Also for you, when you're not a principal, anything else that you do? Do you do any coaching, anything like that?
I used to coach golf and basketball at Jay County, and with a principal job, I just don't have the time for that. Now, I have my own children that are at the age of elementary, middle school that I'm helping out coaching volleyball and football and different things, so I enjoy that, but I see the day sometime when my kids are older and maybe if I step back into a classroom being able to coach again, because I loved it. I loved every minute of that, especially coaching golf. The time commitment right now for this job, plus a family at home, plus all the volunteer things I do, certainly occupies me enough.
Well, and I hope everybody listened to that, because that's leadership right there. That's knowing not to overextend yourself to make sure that everybody that needs to get the best of you can do so, right?
I would agree. Overextending yourselves in education, I think, is something anyone in this field can relate to. because it's a lot. It's not an 8-to-3 job for a teacher or for an aide or for a cook or for a guidance counselor or a principal or anyone it is. We are consistently and constantly looking for ways to help our students around us. And again, if you've built the relationships with those students, then you're taking your time to go watch our sporting events, or you're emailing them in the evening to remind them, hey, you know, I got this advice for you for that essay that's due tomorrow. Or for those students that just need someone in their lives to talk to when they're struggling, we serve all those different roles.
That's true. It's, 12 years of school, and like you think about, you know, seniors, it's crunch time, and you feel the stress.
Yeah, the seniors especially. We just had a conversation with one this morning, and feeling the stress, I think it's a daily conversation of, you know, how do I get myself ready? They're starting to put that on themselves. And man, it's 6 months away. I'm going to be graduating. What am I going to do afterwards? Some have it figured out, and some don't yet, and that's okay. That's what we're here for, to help them get to.
All right, Ryan. Always good to see you. Thanks again.
Appreciate it, Kevin. Thank you.
Next year, when the Wabash comes around again, we'll be at it.
Sounds great. Thank you, Kevin.
It's back to school in Fort Recovery. Kevin Sandler with you. A very special thank you to Kopp Pharmacy, Hall Brothers, K&L Tractor, along with Reisner Energy. We have with us now Mrs. Amy Kaiser, high school guidance counselor. Amy, nice to see you.
Nice to be here.
Let's begin by hearing your story, your background, where you came from originally, and what made you decide to become a guidance counselor.
Okay, well, I actually attended school here at Fort Recovery. This is where I went all 12 years of my education. I graduated from Wright State in Dayton years ago and started my first job was actually at Salina. I taught at the high school. I taught math for 5 years. And then I moved to their elementaries. It was East and West back then. And I was their guidance counselor in the elementary for a few years. And then I took the job here at Fort Recovery, 9 through 12 guidance.
Must have been neat to come back to where you went to school.
Yeah, right? it was. And, you know, a lot of the teachers that I had in high school were still here. So it was really neat to have a different relationship with them, you know, come back as an adult and a peer, and they were really good mentors to me. And it was just really neat. There's just some sort of pride, I guess, about coming back to your hometown and serving.
Let's talk about, the graduation requirements, obviously quite different than what a lot of us grew up with.
Sure. I graduated in the mid 90s. And prior to that, really to get a high school diploma, you had to get certain credits in high school. You had to take a certain number of math credits. You had to take a certain number of English credits, science, and so on. Once you passed those classes, you got your diploma. And then mid-90s, the testing stuff kind of started, and it started with something called the ninth grade proficiency test, and then it was called the Ohio graduation test, and it's just morphed through the years. But testing is a big part of getting a diploma nowadays, and it's actually quite a complicated thing to explain to people, you know, what it takes to get a diploma anymore. It's not real cut and dry. There's a lot of parts to it.
Let's hear some of the ones that you think would surprise parents, you know?
Well, there's kind of, the state puts out like a handout on their website about, you know, what it takes to get a diploma, and they split it into three sections. So the first section is your credit requirements, which is what I talked about before. Students have to get 4 credits in English, they have to get 4 credits in math, they have to get 3 credits in science, and so on. So that's always been there. I would just say it's definitely become more academic, more rigorous than what it used to be. You know, back when I was in school, you only needed 1 math credit. You only needed 1 science credit. And those things have really, the bar's been raised, I guess.
I would say so. My goodness. Yeah. And also even the electives, they have to be in certain areas. So,
right. You know. Right. So there is a certain number of electives that are required for graduation, and they have to be in, you know, extra maths, extra sciences, extra Englishes, extra business classes, career tech, fine arts. They can't just be, you know, I guess study hall. And clearly that doesn't get you a credit, but you can't take 4 phys ed credits in high school. You can only get a limit of 1 towards your graduation, if that makes sense.
It certainly does. And then also when we look at the math, requirements now with the 4 credits, that also includes Algebra 1 or Algebra 2 or quantitative reasoning, which is easier, I bet, and geometry. So, I mean, you're going to know some math, right?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Algebra 1 used to be the kind of highest level some students take, but we have many, many students that now go to the pre-calculus level and calculus level. So yeah, the kids, they are really working hard.
I would say so. That's some amazing skills right there to, you know, to learn. And I think also, you know, as you kind of guide them through it, and I think when we look back, all of us on our high school years, first of all, we remember our guidance counselor because they were very important to us. And one of the things that they would do is work out, you know, work with us is in terms of how are you coming along, you know, on your graduation requirements. Let's take a look at you academically, right?
Sure, sure. So every year, the students all sign up for classes about February, and I meet with them as a grade level, and we kind of go through, you know, what you need to take the next year. So I always tell them, as long as, you know, you're following my suggestions and you're passing all your classes, the credits should not be, you know, a problem. And for most kids, it's not. We have, like Ryan said, we have great kids. Very few kids fail here. We have very few problems, you know, with discipline, anything. We've been really blessed.
That's for sure. And, you know, and if things do happen or if they're struggling in a class, I mean, there's ways credits can be made up and on and so forth.
I think we try to be really flexible. You know, if there's things that aren't working for a student, we definitely try to work it out. And our teachers are great too. You know, I always tell kids, you have to work really hard to fail a class. Like, we will definitely work with you.
There you have it. And also, you know, perhaps the other side of the guidance counselor position, I'm sure there are also times where you're working them through some difficult times in life.
Sure, sure. I mean, there's just stuff you take for granted. You know, a lot, like I said, a lot of our kids do come from very solid, stable homes, but there's a lot of kids that struggle with things too. And that's another side. You know, I always think people probably wonder what does she do all day? You know, I'm very busy, clearly, you know, not only the academic stuff, but it's the non-academic stuff that's the hard stuff. You know, that's the tough things to deal with.
Yeah, and you also think about, you know, that sometimes when things do happen, you know, in your life, you know, you'd like to think when you're adults you deal with them better, not always, but certainly at that age, that's hard.
It's
you know,
tough.
You don't have that life experience yet to try to pull yourself together and go, well, I no matter what happens, I got to go to school. I got to, you know, and it's hard, right?
It is. Because, you know, things are different when you're a teenager. Your brain's not the same. We don't think like adults, and they're impulsive. You know, the students just want a quick fix to everything, and not everything's easy, you know?
That is for sure. Now, again, for you being the guidance counselor here, Amy, how many years now? You said 9, I think?
At Fort Recovery? Oh, no. I'm probably in my 27th year.
27 years.
Like
okay.
That.
But you did 9 years at another school,
I think. Is right. I've been at Fort Recovery right around 20 years.
20 years,
like
so. When you look back on it, though, have you been able to, you know, see students, former students doing well? Or do they ever, you know, send you an email or say hi to you, you know?
Well, a few of them, sure. Yeah, it is really, it's really neat to see them grow and blossom and grow into adults. And I do survey them after they're out of school, about 6 years, just to kind of see where they're at. And that's always really interesting because by 6 years, usually if they went to college, they're finished. Or, you know, if they're in a job, they're pretty much established. Or some of them are starting to get married and having families. And we've hired former students as teachers here. So that's been really, really cool to see some of them come back.
That must be neat, you know, that somebody that maybe you really haven't seen in 6 years, but you remember when they graduated, and now you're seeing them a little bit further along in life. That must be pretty neat to know you had a hand in that.
Yeah, I like to think so. And the teachers, for sure.
All right, excellent. Also, you know, for you, with your students, I'm sure the work you do with, say, a freshman would be different than that of a senior, right? Whereas one year you're talking about, you know, end of school versus, well, welcome to high school. Let's talk about what it's like, right?
Right. The freshman, I mean, the main thing is to just, you know, at the beginning of the year, it's just finding their classes, finding their locker. You know, they're nervous about going to lunch, you know, all those things. And by senior year, it's a whole different thing. I always tell them, I said, the senior year, the tough part is everybody's asking you about what you're going to do when you graduate. You know, I said, every family holiday party you go to, that will be the question. And I think sometimes aunts and uncles, they're just not sure what else to ask you, you know, when you're 18. But that puts a lot of pressure on those seniors. You know, some of them know what they want to do, but some of them don't. And that leads to a lot of anxiety.
Well, and I think also that while it's good to have an idea of what you want to do as a career, it's also unfair to ask an 18-year-old, what do you want to do for the next 30 years? Wait a minute. I need to think this over, right?
And I think some of them probably just tell you what they think is acceptable just to get you off their back.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, and just tell them, hey, you know, never mind that. Let's talk about something else.
Yep.
And then the graduation parties come and all that stuff, right?
Sure.
Excellent. All right. So, you know, again, we are talking with Amy Kaiser, high school guidance counselor. I'm sure you also meet with, you know, quite a few students who express an interest in education. So I bet in addition to being their counselor, you can share personal anecdotes about, well, this is what the job is like. This is what you have to do, right?
Sure. And we always have a few student graduates every year that say they're going to be a teacher or go on to be a teacher. So naturally, we like to hear that. But I always tell them, you know, when I was sitting in their seat, I wasn't going to be no stinking teacher. You know, that was not even in the possibilities. But going through college, I ended up changing my major, and I'm so glad I did. There's just so many benefits to it, and it is really a rewarding career.
What kind of made you flip the switch, so to speak, and say, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a teacher.
Yeah, well, I was an engineering major in college, and I was through 2 years, and I was giving tours of the building, you know, the engineering building at my college, and to high school students that were coming through. And I remember going back to my apartment that night, and I just thought, this is not what I want to do anymore. You know, I thought that's what I wanted to do. You know, so many high school kids like me, you know, you were attracted to the money, you know, that was a career that was supposed to make good money and be rewarding. But I found out that it just wasn't for me. It didn't have as much interaction, you know, as some other occupations. And so, yeah, I went home, panicked, you know, called my mom. That's what we all do when we're in college. And of course, she was like, you can do whatever you want. You know, your parents, a lot of our parents are like that. You know, they're not pushy. But I just had to do some soul searching and some research. And then I took a couple education classes, and they put us in the classrooms right away. And then I knew that was the better choice.
That's neat. And also the importance, you said, don't be bamboozled by the money if it's not something you really, you know, want to do. You want to get up in the morning and be happy to go to work.
Sure,
right?
Sure. You got to look forward to it. And I got to say, like, our staff here, I'm not sure, you know, the other teachers you've talked to, but we have such a great staff. I mean, there isn't any one of them we wouldn't give a kidney to, you know, that's what we always joke about. Like, we get along really well, and it just makes coming to work so much enjoyable.
I also like to point out, you know, for young people that no matter, you know, one thing about it, no matter how much you like your job, we'll be realistic and say there's generally not really such a thing as a great Monday, right? Some can be better than others,
well,
but
last
Monday
Monday
is
was
Monday.
Pretty good. We had that day off, so that
well, there
was
you
kind
go.
Of exciting.
Yeah, that's the exception, right? 52 Mondays in a year or whatever, however many, you know, in a year. Yeah, that you do have to work most of them, right?
Yeah. Those 5 day weeks, you know, that's what everybody else has to do. So
that's
I think
right.
We can handle it too.
I think we certainly can. Amy, thanks for coming by. It's certainly good to get to talk with you again and hear about, you know, what it takes to graduate from school this time, as well as, you know, the daily kind of function of the high school guidance counselor. So we're going to take a break. It is back to school at Ford Recovery. Kevin Sandler with you. Thank you again to Ford Recovery Lumber, Mercer County Electric, Cooper Farms, and K&L Tractor. Mr. Tony Stahl, superintendent, is our guest who helped put together you know, all of these great guests that we're talking to. Tony, good to see you again. I wanted to give you a chance to talk about, you know, your background and what a great start to the year it's been.
Sure. Yeah. No, thank you for having us and kind of putting this on and sponsoring this. So we certainly appreciate always getting the opportunity, get in front and share all the positive things that are happening in the district. So certainly on behalf of the district, WCSM, thank you for covering. Certainly appreciate that, Kevin. Good to be here. Yeah, you know, definitely a great start to the school year. You know, it's hard to believe we're coming up on the holiday, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas time here, kind of midway through the second quarter. So, you know, we've done everything from, you know, wrap up a very successful, you know, fall sports season, a lot of regional trips for, you know, cross country, football, volleyball, and different things. And, you know, all of that, what that entails, and then moving into, you know, even like our Veterans Day program that we did. We had about 50 veterans here last week, which was a good turnout, especially with the weather last week, Monday, kind of into Tuesday a little bit, put a little wrinkle in it. In our eighth grade DC trip, you know, we had high school kids in our FFA go to the national convention in Indianapolis, and they placed, I think our ag mechanical team was sixth in the nation. Coming up from last year, they were placed first in the state, so they got to go there. So yeah, a lot of really great, you know, in the classroom, outside of the classroom, on the fields, all kinds of things. It's been a really good, strong start to the school year, so we're very excited.
I know another thing too, you know, is students always get report cards, so to school districts, but you guys were really pleased, right?
Yeah, no, we were. Second year in a row here, we had a 5-star report card from the from the state on behalf of the district. So that was certainly very, very exciting. We were also able to increase our PI score a little bit in terms of like our student test score ratings, kind of was a little bit higher than previous years. So yeah, not an easy thing to do to kind of keep that consistency, you know, from year to year to go to five stars. But yeah, that's really a true credit to our staff, our students. And then, and probably a big part of it too, obviously, is our parents and the involvement of them in their kids' education and caring about what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. And so I think kind of that team effort really helps go a long way in making a successful district. And obviously there's a lot that goes on, you know, there's a lot more that, you know, can be boiled down what happens in Fort Recovery local schools than a single report card for sure. But it is a nice, you know, recognition of the district and all the hard work that goes into it.
Another thing also, particularly at the elementary middle school building, you know, your HVAC project to start this year and, you know, the importance of that too. It's one of those things that may not always command all the headlines, but the importance of everybody being comfortable and also being efficient so that, you know, you spend money on energy wisely.
Sure. That's one of the things, you know, we're always trying to balance, you know, to put ourselves in the best facility position and also fiscal position that we can, you know, into the future. And so one of the things I think maybe last time I was on with you guys, maybe a year ago or so, we were talking about kind of our facility review and kind of putting together our 10-year plan. And so this was kind of one of the bigger, more pertinent projects from a timeline standpoint that we wanted to get done. And we got going last spring. And then they worked this summer and turned around pretty much our entire building's HVAC system over at the elementary middle school building. And so that was almost $1 million project that was turned around in a pretty tight timeline. So a huge shout out to Clint and Kevin, our maintenance guys over in that building, for working with some of the mechanical providers and companies that we worked with to get that done. But yeah, that was one project of you know, many over the next couple of years. But we were certainly glad to get that done, and it's been working great to start the school year.
Yeah, very important in this neck of the woods in the Midwest, because we tend to get extreme, you know, in the summer and the winter. You're either hot or cold,
I think last week was a perfect case of that. From Monday to, 2-3 inches of snow, then I think it was, 60 maybe this weekend? Yeah, wild.
But very well. Now, also, I know you want to thank your Board of Education. You have some people that, you know, have been there a while.
Right? Yeah. And I think that's, you know, again, looking at, you know, talking about our parent support, community support, the work of our staff that goes into it and the students, you know, it's a big team effort. And I think a big part of that team behind the scenes that does a lot of stuff for us is certainly our Board of Education. And so to have, you know, some consistency and people with, you know, different perspectives from your community to offer feedback and kind of oversight and guidance on some stuff, I think is a huge, kind of often behind the scenes or forgotten part of a district. And so I think they're a huge part of our success as well. So certainly I would be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, our five Board of Education members, all with multiple years of experience. So Don Wendell, he's our president. He's been on for 6 years now, I believe. And then Sean Colleague is our vice president. He's finishing his fourth year this year, 25 and then 26. He actually was reelected in November for another 4-year term, so we're certainly glad to have him back for another four. Mitch Follenkamp, who's been around for two, going on to 2026, will be his third year. Greg Lefevre, again, has been 6 years right now, and has been previously another four, so he's got almost, I think, 10 years of experience over the last decade or so on the board. And then our last one is Nick Workamp, who has 8 years and just won re-election back in November and is coming back for his third 4-year term. So very, very you know, happy with that. And those guys do a great job for us. And we're certainly very appreciative of all their kind of behind the scenes work that they provide.
All right. And then something that I'll be a part of, the whole district will be a part of, right? The continuation of the curriculum adoption process, right?
Yeah, that's, you know, one of the things we always work on. We started this a couple of years ago. That's kind of started, probably right around 2020, 21, with like curriculum review. And that was just, you know, buying, like looking at, all right, which textbooks are old from a very like practical sense, and then making sure, you know, again, looking ahead to the future, kind of a little bit more pre-planning, you know, when are these things, you know, going to be at end of life? And also part of that conversation was, a lot of it was textbooks and planning, but a lot of that has since moved to, you know, online curriculum and online materials. And so a lot of those, you know, don't have the same, they have a longer shelf life per se, but the subscriptions, you know, it's more of a yearly cost as opposed to buying a set of textbooks, you know, 100 textbooks, and then using them for the next 10 to 15 years. So kind of looking at how we budget for all that and how we review it, and that has really been kind of evolved over the last couple of years to be more of a, are we using high quality instructional materials in our classrooms? Are we making sure the kids have the stuff that they need to address the standards, to achieve, you know, the scores that they need to achieve, whatever it may be. And we've actually worked very, very closely over the last couple of years with our educational service center over in Salina, Mercer County ESC, which does a phenomenal job and has been a great partner in working with, you know, running some summer boot camps with our teachers, helping us do some instructional rounds. So once we do adopt a curriculum or maybe thinking about a curriculum, they come in and kind of make sure we're using it, you know, with fidelity, and that our teachers are comfortable with it and they're maximizing, you know, the district investment on those particular materials. So that's been kind of an ongoing 5-6 year process now that we're certainly looking to continue.
All right. Another thing also to, you know, work with too, you're always looking for bus drivers and you do reimburse the trainings or stipends. So if people are looking for a part-time job or they're retired now, they need something to do, I know you're putting the word out, you need some bus drivers.
Sure. I think, you know, this is probably something the people that listen to these, at least when I go on and talk, whether it's our, you know, you guys or another radio station, whatever, we definitely put a plug out there. I think we're always looking for it. I don't think we're the only district that's looking for it that you probably talked to over the last couple of years. But yeah, we do. We have 7 full-time route drivers, and that is, you know, roughly 477 miles, I think, daily with our AM and PM routes. Plus we have during the day TriStar routes that we go to Salina and back, and then also a couple of like special education routes throughout the county to different things. So yeah, it all adds up almost 500 miles a day. And so, you know, there's those people call in sick that we need help with, and that's not counting the extracurricular. So taking trips to, you know, for sporting events or for different band competitions, that kind of stuff. We're always looking for extra sets of hands that are willing to, you know, chip in and drive those things. Or if you have a kid coming up, you know, on maybe a team that you have a kid that's on in the band and going to be in the band for the next 4 years in high school, and you want to be, you know, maybe help out and get paid to go to some of those competitions, we're certainly willing to work with you to help you get that training, to reimburse you for that training, and also offer stipends for when that training is complete and you actually drive for us.
Another thing also, Tony, since you're here, I can't interview a superintendent these days without talking about property tax reform. I know you've got some things to say about that.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's obviously a hot topic these days. I know currently, you know, kind of the summer break, Columbus legislators back in session. There's a lot of, I think there's maybe 4 or 5 different bills, you know, proposed things kind of snaking their way through the House or the Senate. And so obviously, you know, obviously it's a major source of school funding, but it's also the major source of a lot of various local entities funding from, you know, fire and police, local municipalities, townships, libraries, that kind of stuff. So the thing that I think, you know, from a school standpoint, obviously it's a large source of our funding. And so we have certainly a vested interest in paying attention to those laws and working with our citizens. I think it's a balance of making sure that our budget is, you know, moving forward. We have the things, resources we need to offer the services that we our community expects, you know, having buses that are safe, schools that are safe, teachers that are high quality, and those kinds of things that our communities kind of expect. And that is something we certainly strive for, but also balancing, you know, the same time, the rising property values and the property taxes that come with those. And so I think making sure, you know, we're, you know, transparent with our community, that we're working with local stakeholders to make sure people know, you know, how these changes could impact not only their bottom, you know, their pocketbook or their bottom line, but also how they could interact with the various services that they offer in the county.
You also want to get in a word too about the importance of cybersecurity. You think people would never disturb a school, but we've seen examples of that, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's something that I think too, balancing, you talk about property taxes and budgets, you know, there's always these things that keep kind of coming our way too as a school district. And so, you know, most recently it's been with like data privacy, with agreements with different, you know, companies that schools have to have on file. And now that's kind of transitioned from a legislative standpoint into having a cybersecurity plan. You're starting to see these sorts of attacks on a lot more frequent basis, a lot larger, especially for what you would consider like soft target schools, municipalities, that kind of thing. So yeah, having a plan in place for that, looking at, you know, how are we training our staff? How are we training our students? What are the you know, preventative measures that we're doing, like phishing practices or multi-factor authentications, and making sure that we have, you know, okay, if we do have a plan or do have some sort of attack or breach, you know, what is our plan in response to that? The same way we do in our other emergency operations plan, whether it's a bus accident or some other school disaster. It's the same kind of thinking. It's just being kind of pushed out a little bit more of a higher accountable pace from Columbus, if that makes any sense.
That's true. And I know as soon as you said two-factor, you know, authorization, we all kind of went, oh,
I know,
man. But know. On the other hand, it's important and it does work, even though we roll our eyes about it sometimes. It's effective, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's the thing. You know, I think one of the big things that they say, and I am by no means a tech guru, but they often say a lot of those, they call them cybersecurity or technological threats, but they're done through human means. You know, I think they call it social engineering, a fake email, or maybe you get somebody on the phone to get some information, to get a password, to get into something. You know, that's how that point of contact is usually related to humans or human error, despite all of the technological safeguards we have in place. So just kind of getting that message out with our staff and students to be aware is a big part of the battle.
No question. Tony, always great to see you. Thanks for having us out this week. We're having a good time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for coming.
I also want to take a moment to thank Kelp Pharmacy and Hall Brothers K&L Tractors. I want to thank Reason Energy, Cooper Farms, Nature's Green, Fort Recovery Insurance, Mercer County Electric, and Fort Recovery Lumber. Thank you to Ashley Stetler for her help, and Lee Kieser, our amazing producer. We'll be back at it tomorrow. We're going to talk maintenance with Kevin, Will, and Clint Kramer. From math, it's Janice Osterloh and Taylor Frank. Julie Schleider with the Spanish Club. We're going to talk technology. We'll have the treasurer here. It'll be another wonderful day, and we thank all of you for tuning in.